chapter 4. Verse 1, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall. Sometimes, no matter what people say, you just got to start doing something. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore I set in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their sword, their spears, and their bows. And I looked up and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, the other half of them held both spear and shields and the bows and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which build the wall and they that were burdened with those that laid it, every one with one hand wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, and I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof we hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time I said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guarded to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. I know it's a lot of reading, but you get kind of a picture of what's going on here. Nehemiah's opponents, as we read, was Sanballat and Tobiah. And once again, they appear in this chapter with familiar rhetoric of hatred. Sanballat, he mocked the Jews in a voice that must have been full of animosity and spite. And if he was living today, he could have said in the day's vernacular, who do these Jews think there are? Who do they think they are kidding? Come on, be serious. Are they going to try to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem from all this rubble? As I read there in 4:2, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and he said, that's what Tobiah said, what did these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? The walls have been around Jerusalem had been tore down. There was nothing a whole lot to do. They was just a bunch of small stones. And they were trying to rebuild the wall. And these two men were telling the Jews that they were crazy to do that. But I'm here to tell you people, sometimes you have to pick up the pieces of your life and sometimes you just got to start over. And I know that we've all been to the place where our life is nothing but a bunch of rubble. It looks like there's nothing there. But I want to tell you what. You start picking up one piece. You pick up another piece. You pick up another piece. And before you know it, you're rebuilding your life. But you got to start with that first piece. You can't sit there and say, well, there's not a whole lot going. There's not a whole lot here. How am I going to do it? But these people saw the rubbish. They saw the bad situation that they was in. And they knew that they had to rebuild this wall for the safety of Jerusalem. And even though their critics was telling them they could not do it, somebody had to say, let's do it. And somebody had to pick up the first stone. And if we'll start with that, if we'll start picking up the pieces of our lives. See, in verse number 3 there, Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which we build, if they build, if a fox go up, they'll break it down. He's saying that, amen, even though they're going to rebuild this, amen, it's not going to last. Amen, a little fox, amen, would break it down. The passage here implies that these two men mocked the Jews. Amen, not only for personal pleasure, but to discourage them to be building the wall. And so I've thought to myself, as I've been in this a long time, the one thing you can't always do is you can't always listen, amen, to those people around you, amen, that's shooting off the negative things. Amen, there's always those that saying you can't do it. There's always those that saying you might as well, amen, give up. You might as well just lie where you're at. Amen. There's always those that's going to say that. Amen. But I want to tell you this. Amen. But you've got to make your mind up and you've got to do something. Amen. All you got to do is begin to pick up that first stone. I thought about the key here. Amen. In verse number 6. Amen. As they said, amen, so build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together. Why? Amen. The half thereof. Why? For the people had a what? They had a mind to work. I'm here to tell you this. If you've got your mind made up, I'm getting out of this. If you've got your mind made up, I'm tired of being in this. I'm tired of the mess I'm in. I'm tired of everything being this way. Amen. When you got said it a lot, when you get sick and tired, amen, of being sick and tired, amen, you'll do something about it. So what am I telling you today? Somebody, amen, pick up that first stone and begin to rebuild your life. Amen. And stand upon the word of God and the promises of God. Amen. But you've got to pick up the first stone. You can lay there all you want. Amen. But these people had a mind to work. When mockery failed to stop the building, the enemies of Judah, amen, threatened to attack, as we read there in 4 and 11. Amen. They conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. I'm here to tell you, when you get your life trying to get your life right, amen, here comes the enemy to hinder you, amen, any way he can. He'll hinder you, amen, with people. He'll hinder you, amen, with other things. Amen. And so in this situation here, amen, they was out to hinder the building of the wall. In verse 11 it says, and our adversary said, amen, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Amen. They did not intend to actually, amen, take control of the city. Amen. But they wanted to create confusion. I'm here to tell you, all the enemy wants to do, amen, is try to create confusion in your life, amen, to get your eyes off the cross. Amen. As long as you keep your eyes on the cross, amen, he knows, amen, that things are going to be put back together. I'm glad one day, oh, that Jesus came and put my life back together. Oh, the enemy hindered it. He tried to stop it. He tried to get my eyes, amen, off the cross of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, people, I got sick and tired of being where I was at. I got sick and tired. And so what I did, I began to pick up the pieces of my life one at a time. And Jesus rebuilt my life today. All you've got to do is have a mind to work. As we read there in verse 8, they conspired, all of them together, amen, to come and to fight against it, to hinder it, to cause the work to cease. Amen. They wanted to create confusion. As verse number 11 says, and I thought, isn't it the devil's job, amen, to cause confusion? Amen. Paul writes in Corinthians 11:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all churches of the saints. Amen. God's not going to create confusion. Amen. These two men, Sanballat and Tobias. Amen. Tobiah. Amen. Had rallied and considered. Amen. Got together an alliance. Amen. The Arabs, the Amorites, and the Ashdodites. Amen. To come against Judah, as we read there in verse number 7 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Amen. He began. Amen. He wanted to stop them because, amen, they were building it. When the devil sees you to begin to put your life back together, amen, the first thing he's going to do, amen, is come and tempt you. Amen. Is trying to get you, amen, to turn around. I've told the enemy right now, I've come too far to turn back. I've come too far to look back. I've got heaven in view today. Amen. The pieces of my life are behind me. Amen. God has rebuilt me. Now that term, amen, that John, amen, that John wrote, amen, it was written in John, amen, as Nehemiah looked, amen, at not Nehemiah, but Nicodemus, amen, and looked, and he said, when Jesus used those terms and he didn't quite understand it, you must be born again. Well, you might as well say, he rebuilt me. He turned me around. He set my life, amen, toward the cross. He put my feet upon solid ground. As Matt said in Sunday school, I don't know what I would do without Jesus. I don't know where I would be without Jesus. But I'm telling you something, church, I know where I'm at with Jesus. I know how far he's brought me from. I know what he's done in my life. He has rebuilt me and turned my life around. Nehemiah and his group, they were basically outnumbered and surrounded. And once again, Nehemiah responded by praying. And there in verse 9, he said, "We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." I say it all the time. Don't lose your head in a trying time. Don't you dare fall apart. You tell the devil, "I am going to refuse to fall apart. I'm not doing it anymore. I've been down that path. I know what it's like to see my life, amen, basically scattered everywhere. It's not happening anymore." Amen. We must stay grounded. How? In the Word of God. Amen. Look at what they did. In addition, the Jews set a watch against them day and night and prepared for an attack. Amen. Apparently the threat of attack from the surrounding nations, amen, kind of weakened the Jews. It weakened their spirits. Amen. When things sometimes begin to go wrong, amen, your spirit gets a little weak. Amen. But what do you do? Amen. You pray. I say it all the time, pray. Get on your knees and pray and get a hold of God today. Judas said, refers here to the circulating gossip. Oh, you know, there's always gossip. Judas said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall." So the word on the street was, everybody's getting tired. Man, if you hear gossip, I think the worst thing that, you know, it turned out to be good, but one of the worst things is when I was growing up was the telephone. Get on the telephone and you gossip about this one and you gossip about that one. Now it's not the telephone, it's texting or Facebook or social media. And you rip this one up and you rip that one up. And you've got people telling you this and telling you that. I'm here to tell you, you need to stop all that kind of stuff. Amen. I don't care what everybody else is saying. Amen. All the rubbish is getting in our way. Amen. Plus the mockery that was coming. Amen. The military attack that could happen. Amen. Slowed them down. Amen. It says in verse number 1, "And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither shall they see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Amen. They kept ensuing threats, throwing threats out, promising to attack. Amen. In order to bring down the rebuilding. Amen. And stop it. As a result, frightened Jews from outlying areas who felt particularly vulnerable, amen, repeatedly complained of their fears. Amen. And it came to pass in verse 12, it says that the Jews which dwelt by them came and they said unto us 10 times, meaning over and over and over again, "From all the places which we shall return unto you, they will be upon you." Amen. Nehemiah said, amen, "I've heard it over and over and over again." Confronted with discouraged people, menacing neighbors. Amen. This is what Nehemiah was facing. A whole bunch of complaints. Nehemiah gathered the people together. Amen. And he said this. Amen. He got them in there. He got them together. And he was arming them and getting them ready for battle. Amen. Nehemiah 4:13. Amen. He began to say, "Amen. I sat in the lower places behind the wall on the high places. I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows." Amen. He got them together and he said, "Look, amen, if you go, stop your complaining." Amen. People who squawk about stuff, you need just to be quiet. Amen. You need to hush up. Amen. He said, "If you're going to complain, well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do something about it." Amen. Here's a bow. Amen. Here's a sword. And here's a shield. Amen. Stop complaining. Amen. And get busy. Amen. Get busy fighting. Get busy doing something about it. It's easy to complain. I don't have this. I don't have Well, glory to God. He handed them a weapon. He said, get busy. Everybody in their life has complained about something. I'm going to say, if you're going to complain about something, well, how about you being a part of the solution? Nobody wants to do that. If you're tired of where you're at, do something about it. If you're tired of where your life is at, do something about it. He positioned this congregation behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. He gathered these people together, and he guaranteed that their enemies would see the strength and readiness of the Jews. Now, I want to tell you this. The devil doesn't always let go, but if you fight hard enough, he'll let go. The Bible says he belongs where? Under your feet. Not on your shoulder whispering in your ear. You fight far, hard enough and long enough, you will win the battle. You throw the white towel in, you'll never taste victory. Each of these people had their weapons in the right hand. They were not going to get caught without their weapon. Don't get caught unaware. Don't get surprised by the enemy. The Bible says that he will use any way he can to get to you. Once they were in place, Nehemiah developed and delivered a rousing pep talk. You know, every now and then we need to do a pep talk. Don't call me for a pep talk. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look in the mirror and give yourself a pep talk. I am who God says I am. Come on. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the blessed, not the cursed. I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. So, devil, you better get out of my way today, because me and the Lord's coming through. And we're not backing down. We're not giving up. Amen. If you're looking for a fight, devil, you've come to the right place. A lot of us, when the devil comes, we're hiding under the bed in the closet saying, oh. We need to say, devil, if you're looking for a fight, you've got one. Give yourself a pep talk. He looked at the people and he said, I sat in the lower places, behind the wall, in the high places. And he said, with their sword and with their spears. Amen. He's telling the people, look what we did. Look what I did. Calling on the people, look what we did. Look where we placed you. Look where you're at. Come on. You're not here just to take up a spot. You're here to do something. You're not here and created by God just to walk around. You're here to do something, to reach out, to help somebody else. Amen. Keep their focus on God. Amen. Who we know is great and awesome. With their mindset properly focused, the people of Judah were ready to fight for their families. Amen. Is your mindset, listen to me, amen, are you focused on the task? Amen. Are you ready at any cost and at any moment, amen, to fight for yourself? Amen. To fight for your house. To fight for your bloodline. When the enemy says, well, they'll never listen to you. You've messed up 10 times over. That doesn't matter. Amen. Devil, I'm here to fight. Did you hear me, devil? I'm here to fight. I'm going to start picking the pieces up. I'm going to start rebuilding my life. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't care what it looks like right now. But when I get done, you're going to do a work in me. You're going to rebuild me. Come on, people. Let's start picking up the pieces today. Is your weapon in your hand? Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6. And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You got your shield? The shield of faith. Faith is the evidence of not seen. You know, I don't see it, but I know it. Now faith. The Bible in Hebrews calls it now faith. I believe that God's going to take care of me. I believe that no matter what I go through, I'm going to come out all right. I believe that I have faith in a God that's going to take care of me. So that's my shield. Every dart the enemy throws at me will be deflected. And take on the helmet of salvation. Now this was the Roman soldier's war garment. He had a shield. And if you go home and read it, he's got a breastplate. He's got shoes that with knobby studs on it so he could rocky terrain. He could keep his balance. But the helmet of salvation. That helmet, you put it on, spiritually speaking, protects your mind. And I'm telling you what, everything the enemy throws at you first comes into the mind. It enters into the mind gate. Hits you. You're not. You cannot. You will never make it. You ain't good enough to make it. You're going to go right back into the hole you climbed out of. This is going to be destroyed. You're not going to have anything you praying about. So what happens is you put on that helmet of salvation, and what it does, it deflects those thoughts that come into your mind. Bam, the helmet, boom, blah, comes off. Bloom comes off. And the Bible, and we got to be careful to keep that helmet on. Amen. We got the helmet on. Now, what's he tell us to do? He's got the helmet on. And the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Which is the Word of God. You begin to look at the breastplate of righteousness. And I didn't bring that in, but I want to bring it in right now. The Roman soldier's garment was connected. He had a breastplate, amen, and it went around. But you know, all of this was protected. You know what wasn't protected? This. You know why? You're not supposed to run. You run, you expose your backside. The Roman soldier was taught, you run, the arrows that they shoot will hit you in the back and kill you. But if you have this breastplate on, and it's time we face our demons, people. It's fine time we face our enemy. Amen. Toe to toe. Amen. You're protected as long as you face him head on. Amen. You tuck tail and run. You're exposing your backside to trouble. Amen. So don't tuck tail and run. Amen. So when we look at this, the faith is a shield. Guarding the believer against all attacks. Invisible enemies. Be careful though. Paul never uses the word faith as a religious word, as a lot of Christians do today. We use it to refer to what we believe. Amen. And the act of believing. For Paul, amen, trustful obedience was always involved in faith. Justified by faith. We live by faith. We trust in Christ by faith. It's just not a cliche word. Amen. Paul writes in Timothy, for the cause, for which cause I suffer these things. Amen. But he said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and that is persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. So I stand and say he is able. Amen. What are you committing to God today? What are you entrusting to God today? Amen. Literally, we hear the old saying, amen, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Well, I'm telling you today, I have put all my eggs in one basket. Why? Because Jesus Christ is carrying my basket. I believe that's the kind of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need resources, people. And those resources come from Jesus Christ, who stands with us, fights with us, no matter what it is. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above everything, taking the shield of faith. That way you're able to quench all the darts. You've got to do that. You've got to take that. He sees this as a shield of faith and the helmet of salvation as the guarantee of divine protection and ultimate deliverance. I said, you'll never see victory if you quit. Wearing this, you'll get through it. Wearing this, you'll see it. The shield, the helmet. The Bible says in Hebrews, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Christ is the living word of God. He uses the word of God to meet Satan in the hour of his temptation. Remember, the devil was tempting him. What did he say? Get thee behind me. It is written. He was using the word of God on the enemy. You and I are to use it. Our second weapon of offense is one thing I think we lack in so much, and we don't do enough. We got to pray. I'm serious. We got to pray. I'm not talking about driving to work praying. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing the dishes praying. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, amen, any of that. I'm talking about you, amen, closing everything off, going into your bedroom or wherever it may be, shutting the door and pray. That is our second. The Bible says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Prayer always, amen, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not turning, amen, a grocery list into God. It's not, oh, come on, people. Amen. We're like God is like Amazon to us. Amen. It's like, I need this. I want this. I need this. I need that. And I want it second day. Amen. God, you're my prime. No. Amen. Don't turn the grocery list into God. Amen. Get on your face before God and begin to thank Him of His goodness. Oh, begin to thank Him of His faithfulness. Begin to worship Him because He's holy. Amen. Because honor Him because He is Jehovah. He's redeemed us. He's kept us. Amen. Give God that type of glory. And then if you need things, then bring those things to God. But God's not your Amazon. And I know our enemy is real. And we need to lay a hold of God for that which is spiritual, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul distinguishes between prayer and supplication. Prayer is general, supplication is specific. An effective prayer must be in the Spirit. Once again, we got to pray. We can't pray to God like you're talking to me. You got to get on and you got to worship. The prayer is part of our worship to God. You don't have to use big fancy words. You don't have to use words, you know, like you hear ministers on TV. You don't have to do all that stuff. You just get down and in your own way. You just thank God. You just thank God. You just thank God. You just thank God. Nehemiah's defensive strategy was successful. Verse 15 said, and it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, and everyone do his work. The danger of immediate attack subsided, and the builders returned to their work. You know, sometimes I believe that we go through things, and when we get on the other side, God will give us an area, I think, of peace, an area of prosperity. And in that area of prosperity, what are we going to do? Devil's not attacking. Things are going good. What are we going to do? We still pray. We still seek God. And we still get busy about the work. The attack subsided. They weren't going to be attacked. There was no going to be. And so what did they do? They began to work again. You know, it gets old when we just hear it and hear it. Look how they work together. In Nehemiah 4:16, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of the servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shield and the bows and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Half of Nehemiah's servants stood guard while the others worked. You know, in churches, Matt, we ought to be able to come up and say, I got your back. I got your back. Now, I've heard that so many times and people haven't had my back. But we need to walk up to our brothers and sisters, and we need to honestly, honestly say it from our hearts. Sister Michelle, I've got your back. Brian, I've got your back. The enemy attacks you, he attacks me. So as we look at what's going on there, half the people were standing guard, while the other half built the wall. That's a group that's working together. Man, if you can get everybody on the same page, how wonderful it would be. So many churches have got this group wanting to do this group wanting to do that group wanting to do this, and you got everybody, amen, running here and there. You know what you call that? Amen, you can have 1,000 people doing 1,000 different things. You know what you call that? You call that a mob. And a mob's destructive. But you also can have 1,000 people on the same page with one goal. And you know what you call that? You call that an army. And an army takes ground, and an army's successful. So they were working together. Man, we used to sing a little song when I was a kid here in church. The more we pull together, we'd have a person here and we'd go like this. The more we pull together, the happier we will be. Now think about that. Isn't it much easier to work together than fight against each other? Well, I don't want to hold the spear. Well, I don't want to do the work. Well, well, gee whiz. In 17 and 18, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and with those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, and with other hands held the weapon. For the builders, everyone had a sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet, amen, was by me. The builders bore arms while laboring on the wall. Nehemiah 18:20. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, so builded, and he sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. In which place thereof, hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us, our God shall fight for us. They developed a communication. You know, a lot of people come to church and sit right next to each other and don't say a word to each other. I ain't talking to her. I ain't talking to him. Man, when I was growing up, don't you dare sit in my seat. Oh, my goodness. Or park in their parking spot. Oh, my goodness. You park in my parking spot. Oh. You sit in my seat. Oh. We need to have communication among the brother and sister. We need to talk to one another. Hey, how have you been? Hey, man, what's going on in your life? Huh? Has God been blessing you? We need to get to know one another. They had a communication there with the trumpet. Amen. Across the way. They said in 21 and 22, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, the workers camped in Jerusalem. They brought them together in order to protect the city. And the fifth thing, in Nehemiah 4:23, so neither nor I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed, and me, none of them put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing, indicates that even Nehemiah and his fellow noblemen came in and got in the work. I've told people this, I won't tell you to do something that I won't do. Okay? Now, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but one time after Bible school, a little 12-year-old went in the bathroom, men's bathroom, it would have had to been the men's, and made a complete disaster in the stall. I thought I was out in the barnyard. Now, as pastor of the church, I could have came out and I said, Doug, go clean that up. But I got the rubber gloves on and I cleaned it up myself. So I'm not going to ask you to do something that I won't do. What kind of leader's that? I'm going to sit up here and bark orders and you're all going to do it. No, Nehemiah and his noblemen, he said, boys, we're going to be right here with you.
We're going to stand side by side with you, and we're going to work just as hard as you're working, because I'm no better than you. Amen. You're no better than me. We're in this together. And when we get that kind of mindset, I'm telling you what, God's going to move, not only in him, but in here, but also in your life. Don't sit there and think you're somebody special. Amen. Don't sit there and say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I'm not about, well, who, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about that. I want you to get a mind to work. Amen. Spiritually, I'm not going to ask Sister Claire to mow the lawn. Amen. But I expect Sister Claire to get on her knees and pray for me. So I won't ask you to do anything that I won't do. And this is what the rulers did. They were together. His willingness to join in the hardship spurred the people on in their commitment. I'm telling you what. Amen. When you look at that and you see leaders. Amen. You know, I was watching the President of the United States. Amen. Come down and getting on a helicopter. And that Marine standing there. Amen. Was just as stiff as he could be. And he saluted and his hat blew off. Amen. Trump could have got right on the airplane like Obama. I seen Obama do it. I seen Bush do it. Amen. But no, Donald Trump went over Brian, picked that hat back up and walk back on and put it on that guy's head. And I thought, my God, now that's a leader. The other presidents were like, I'm too important to do that. But if the commander-in-chief walked over, it was windy out, he walked over, picked that hat up and walked out and put it back on that Marine's head, because that Marine wasn't allowed to move. Now that's a leader. Are you willing to get your hands dirty? Are leaders willing to get their hands dirty? Are they willing to work? We got to be together. There's great power in unity. Come on, people. When we get on the same page, amen, these people stood together. They made it, made them stronger. They were fighting for their lives, their homes, their families. Amen. They were not going to give up easily. Amen. How did the Jews respond? Amen. Against the threats and all that. Amen. They had a mind to work. Do we have a mind to work? A commitment that is illustrated vividly throughout the rest of this chapter. The laborers constantly would not have found it. It was hard work. It wasn't easy. It was an all-day job to pick up those little stones and begin to rebuild the wall. Yet in spite of the difficulties and the threats, the wall began to rise little by little by little. They were rebuilding the wall. I think sometimes you need to step back and look and see just how far God's brought you. You need to step back and say, man, I can tell a difference. I can tell how far God's brought me. Look where I'm at. Look, the pieces are starting to fit together. They're starting to come together. But you had to have a mind to work. Chapter 4, Nehemiah responds to his opponents with a combination of prayer, preparation for battle. And we see the familiar balance in his leadership between the spiritual and the practical. You know, church, there's a difference. And I'm going to tell you, there's a difference. Not everything we deal with is spiritual. Well, I had a flat tire. That devil must have. No, you just had a flat tire. Okay? My battery's dead in the car. No, that's not the devil. Your battery's just dead because probably when it's 14 below, 50,000 other people had dead batteries. The devil didn't. It's just one of those things. We have a tendency to make everything spiritual. And we got to understand and we got to separate the practical from the spiritual. Now, I've been in this long enough. I know when it's a spiritual attack. Because the devil's not going to give me a flat tire. Now, you know what? The flat tire might lead into a spiritual attack because I might let that go way further than it should. Keep this right here. Blocked. Do not allow those attacks. The mind gate. I call it the mind gate. And it enters into the mind gate and starts taking root. And the next thing you know, it starts spewing out of this place. The Bible says the issues of life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. You want to speak doom and gloom, you go ahead and speak it. And I'm telling you what, that's all you'll ever get. But if you'll speak life, hope, and peace in Jesus, that also will come. So let's separate the spiritual from the practical. I've known people, everything's spiritual. They get up and pray what kind of breakfast food to have in the morning. My goodness, that's getting a little out there. So let's separate the spiritual from the practical. And don't let the practical things go wrong lead into a spiritual battle, because it could. You could be out there throwing wrenches and everything else because of the flat tire. Now it goes into something different. So how many of us has been there? We deal with these things and they can affect us spiritually. How many parents have said this? If you don't help me deal with these kids, I'm going to bust every one of them. And the last thing you need to be is in the front yard going postal on your kids. Growing up, now I'm telling you what, growing up, we had a family lived across the street from us in the house that Christina lives in. They had four boys. And I'm telling you what, it would be big time wrestling out in the front yard. The four boys and dad. Dad with the belt, the four boys, and I mean they were going at it. They were getting their shots in, and he was getting his shots in. And we were all plastered up on the picture window watching it. I'm thinking, this is better than big time wrestling. We can't let those things. I told you about the time I ripped everything out of my shed. Remember? I went to get a hose and it was tangled up in the bikes. Man, the next thing I know, there was shovels coming out of that shed, bikes coming out of that shed. But you know what? I got a privacy fence. Nobody can see me. Yeah. And James looked at me and said, I'm not cleaning that up. And I had to put everything back. Sometimes we let those things get out of control. So don't let those things get out of control, because people are watching you. I mean, if you're out in the front yard kicking your tires, screaming and yelling at it, and your neighbor's standing there thinking, well, I watch him take his Bible and go to church every Sunday. We can't allow that kind of stuff to happen. There's a fine line between the spiritual and the practical. Is it possible that sometimes we let our guard down? I don't know. Is it possible that we sometimes don't believe what God says? In 4:20 of Nehemiah, he says, in what place thereof, therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort he thither unto us, God shall fight for us. Do we hear these words and not believe them? Things go wrong, we think God's abandoned us. I'm telling you what, people, God will fight for you. God will stand with you. God will be with you. I don't care what conflicts you face, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Take that as your priority. I know we'll make costly mistakes. I understand that. And I know that we can go and repent. But I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. I still got to prepare. I still got to get myself in order. But I trust God. I pray, but I trust God. When I leave the house, I lock my doors. When I get out of my car, I lock the doors. Amen. But I still trust God to take care of my house. I'm thinking practical. Amen. You don't leave the door wide open and leave, but you shut the door. That's my responsibility. Lock it up. But I trust God to take care of those things. We just get sometimes off the beaten path. For Christians, we walk by faith. We got to live by faith. The New Testament clearly teaches that God's people should expect opposition, even though we're living by faith. And I tell you, I read that in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren. What's he telling you? Finally. Do you get it? Finally. Yeah. Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he tells you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you do that? He tells you we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against you, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Take unto you. There's a responsibility on your part. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? We've got to be strengthened in the Lord and the power of his might. If we're not, church, we're in serious trouble when the enemy comes knocking. I've got a bunch more, but I'm going to close this service out. We've got to get to the place in our life where we make our minds up. And I thought so many times, I've had to just seriously get mad at myself and say, man, you've got to make your mind up. Because we fight this enemy every single day of our lives. I love this scripture. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So you're not going to do this with a normal mind, but you got to work this in the spirit. But mighty through God, through the pulling down of the strongholds. And then this is one of the most powerful scriptures that you need to live by. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. If the enemy comes to you and starts to tell you you're not, God will never tell you that. If the enemy starts coming against you and telling you that you cannot, you'll never make it, you'll be this way the rest of your life, that's the enemy. That's not God. So what you do is you cast that down. And then bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You grab it. You pull it into captive. You bring it captive into your mind. This is who God says I am. And you begin to look at scriptures on what God says that you are. I am who God says I am. That's such a powerful statement. No matter where you're at in this life, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much it seems to be heaping on top of you, you need to stop and you need to say, I am who God says I am. I'm the blessed. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I am who God says I am. Casting down imaginations. Everything that brings into your mind that's not of God, you throw it down. And you bring into captivity every thought and obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm the redeemed, Doug. Amen. I'm the blessed of God. I'm an overcomer. He calls me his child. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Those are the things that you bring in. I am who God says I am. There's a song out there, it's Hillsong sings it, I am who God says I am. I've been listening to that, not thinking how powerful that is. And then another one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 6:9, And let us not be weary in well-doing. I know we get tired. I know the battle's hard. But he says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Meaning that the victory will be yours. It will be yours. You will conquer this. You can rebuild your life. You can do it. It's within you because God will help you. You start picking the bricks up. And you might say, God, this one's really heavy. His hand will come in and just help you pick it up. Then the next thing you're walking around saying, I am who God says I am. You can rise out of the rubble if you want to. If you want to rise up, you can. If you want to sit there and complain and boo-hoo and squawk about it, you can do that. But how about doing something about where you're at today? How about it? This is the crux of it. In the agriculture of the Spirit, we cannot afford to chicken out on ourselves. You're either going to sow to the world or you're going to sow to the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you'll die. You know, but if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. It's totally up to you. But due season's coming. Nehemiah, he stood up with the people and he said, folks, we can do this. You want your life changed today? Do you? Well, I'm going to open these altars up. And I don't know where you're at today when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Most of you I do, but some of you I don't. But you want to make a change? If you want to make a change, these altars are open. It's up to you. Sing it, sister. Listen to this song.